Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Good evening. Here we are learning in the first full week of the month of Elul, the Parshios of Elul. And of course, as we said last week in Parsha Shoftim, and we've said many, many times, whenever there's a Parsha associated with a certain time of the year, so obviously the messages found in that Parsha are so often associated with the time of the year. And Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is no exception. Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is the parsha that we find the most mitzvahs b'chol haTorah kula in this single parsha. In this single parsha, there are 74 mitzvos. The single parsha with the most mitzvos, 74 mitzvos in this one parsha. Really an unbelievable, unbelievable amount of mitzvos in this parsha. And we know that just a note, if for those that were not in shul for Parsha Zachar, for those that were not in shul for the Shabbos before Purim, and you did not hear the laning of Zachar, which according to many is of a mitzvah mid'araisa for men and for women, so this week you can go to shul and you can hear the maftir of Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, which is the laning for Zachar. So that's just a PSA, that's just a public service announcement. What I wanted to learn together this week, what I wanted to learn together from Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is actually something that continues from last week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim. What we're going to be talking about tonight is primarily a Torah from Rav Avram Pam, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, the longtime Rav Shiva of Torah Vadas, whose Yahrzeit was just a few weeks ago. And Rav Pam's Torah is like the sweetest of the sweet. It's the sweetest of the sweet. His Sefer HaTorah LeMelech, a number of Talmidim came out with a number of Sfarim in English from some of Rav Pam's ideas. But Rav Pam points out that the Gemara in Ksubis from the beginning of last week's Parsha is something that should make us pause and just really ask ourselves, what's going on? We know the Torah in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Shoftim, started off with the mitzvah of shoftim, shotrim, titan, lecha, b'chol sharech, of making sure there are judges, making sure there's a police force in your cities. And then in the next pasuk, lo sata, mishpat, lo sakir, panim, velo sikach shochad, ki ha-shochad yaver ini chacham, vivim, v'salif, divrei tzadikim. And the pasuk tells us that we cannot corrupt judgment, and judges are not allowed to take any type of bribes. And the Gemara in Ksubis, towards the end of the Ksubis, I think Kofei tells us that you're not only not allowed to take monetary bribe, but you're not allowed to even take a favor, an extra favor as a bribe. And the Gemara has, just looking, the Gemara has a number of different examples of Heilaga Tanoim and Amoraim who refused to judge cases because they felt they were quote-unquote bribed. What's one example? Shmuel, the great Amora Shmuel. He was crossing a bridge and someone, fellow traveler, sticks out his hand to help Shmuel. And Shmuel says, thank you, what are you doing here? And the guy says, oh, I'm actually coming to have you judge a Din Torah for me. And Shmuel says, I can't judge your Din Torah. The Gemara then says there's a case of Amemar, that Amemar was sitting in his bezdin and a feather fell onto his cap, and someone came and blew off the feather off Amemar's cap, and Amemar said, thank you, said, what are you doing here? And the guy said, oh, I'm actually your next case. And Amemar says, no, you're not, I can't judge your case for you. And there are a number of cases like this in the Gemara, a number of scenarios when you have great Chachamim that passel themselves, that remove themselves from being judges, even though there's a mitzvah midaraisa to be a judge. It's a mitzvah midaraisa to hear a case. They remove themselves from fulfilling that mitzvah midaraisa because this person did a very tiny, tiny favor for them. And it seems something that doesn't make sense to us. Something seems off, like with these rabbis. With these rabbis so finicky, with these rabbis so fickle, that someone did a little favor for them, and then all of a sudden that was it. They, you know, they felt indebted to the person. They couldn't judge a case. Mamish, v'mevatel mitzvah medaraisa, because they owed now the person for just holding his hand when he's crossing a bridge, for blowing a feather off his head, and other cases of mamish even less than that. Really, it just doesn't make sense. Zakt Rav Pam. Rav Pam says, you know why it doesn't make sense to us? Because we live in a society that's so incredibly, incredibly arrogant. We live in a society that is so self-centered, that unfortunately we live in a society of such consumerism that we often can't see beyond ourself, that we're so self-centered on ourself. And Rav Pam's Lashon is, we live in a world where many people feel that they deserve everything that they receive. And when you live in a world like that, when you live in a world where everyone thinks that they deserve everything they get, so then you're right, we can't understand. A guy's holding the door for you. Remember, a guy holds the door for you. You're puzzled to judge for him. A guy holds the door for you. What's a big deal? Zakt Rav Pam, what these Chachamim are teaching us is what real Hakaras HaTov is. And Rav Pam said, can you imagine if we sensitized ourselves to such a degree that we really had Hakaras HaTov and people even did the littlest favors for us? And he said, in Alachas Kama Vekama, what we have to do in terms of the most important relationships, in a relationship with a spouse, a relationship with parents and children, relationships with siblings, relationships with friends and neighbors, we can't overlook the small things. Chas v'shalom, we can't take them for granted. And this, Rav Pam says, of course, is a dimyon for the most significant relation of the relationship of us with the Ribono Shel Olam, right? A person that has real Hakaras HaTov, when someone extends a hand to help steady him as he's crossing a bridge, right, that'll blow a feather off his hat, such a person will have such Hakaras HaTov every morning when he or she wakes up and they can see through their eyes and realize God is the Pekeach Ivrim, right, that they can stand up out of their bed and realize that Hashem is the Zokev Kifufim. And they'll really feel a sense of Hakaras HaTov. And Rav Pam said that that's what the mitzvah of Kiyas Shochad Yaveri Naim is teaching us. That Shochad, we think the Gemara in Ksubas is giving us cases, crazy cases of bribes that make no sense. He says maybe it's because of the social milieu in which we live. It might be because of the society that we take these things for granted, that we look as if we deserve everything. So that's part one. And that was a lesson that Rav Pam had from last week's Parsha. And then we come to Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. And again, we're finding the single Parsha that has the Motz Mitzvahs, Bechol HaTorah Kula, the single Parsha. Again, you know, Achremos Kedoshim, when they're together, could have more. But here we're talking the single biggest mitzvah parsha, Bechol HaTorah Kula. And one of these mitzvahs is an interesting mitzvah. The mitzvah is about an Egyptian convert. It's in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Ches. Lo sisai v'adomi ki achicha hu, do not reject an Edomite, because he's your brother through Esav, but lo sisai v'mitzri, and don't reject an Egyptian that wants to convert. Why? Ki ger ha'yisa ba'artzo. Because you were a convert, you were a stranger in his land. Right? Therefore, banim eshe yivaldu lahem, dar shlishi yavo lahem b'kal Hashem. Therefore, an Egyptian convert, till they can marry a Jewish person, till he or she can marry a Jewish man or a woman, after three generations of Egyptian converts, then they can fully enter into the Jewish people. But the question Rashi already deals with, Rashi is bothered by the same question we should all be bothered by. Don't reject an Egyptian because you were a stranger in the Egyptian's land and they provided hospitality? What are we talking about? Look in Rashi. Rashi says, Alatar on that pasuk, Lo sisayev mitzri, don't reject an Egyptian. Mikol v'kol, don't reject him totally, because afal pisha zarku zechareim liyar. Look what Rashi says. Even though they threw all your baby boys and killed them into the river, right? Even though they drowned all the Jewish baby boys, nonetheless, Rashi says, we can't reject them out hand. My time, why? Shehayu lachem achsanya b'shas hadchak. Because they were a hospitable host when things were difficult. When, right? What's Rashi talking about? When there was a famine in Eretz Canaan, and Yaakov and his whole family comes down to Yosef, who's the viceroy of Egypt, and Yosef, we know, is a little bit concerned of how Paro will respond to his family coming down, and Paro throws open his arms, throws open the land of Egypt to Yaakov, to all the Shiftei Ka, and says, wherever you want to go, the land is yours. Go wherever you want to go. And again, think about how long that was for. Yosef lived another 70 years after Yaakov comes down. And we know the Sheba doesn't start until the last of the Shvatim die, which was Levi. That's another 20 years after Yosef, right? After Yosef dies. See, talking about from the time Klal Yisrael comes down to Egypt, For 90 years, Egypt is a hospitable galus. Then Egypt turns it on its head, right? Then Egypt becomes the worst of the galios. Many say that Egypt was the binyanav, the paradigm of galus, that all the other galios, everything we suffered, is a me'ain, is a reflection of what we experienced in the Egyptian exile. But nonetheless, Rashi says that we can't reject an Egyptian because they were hospitable. Zotr of Pam, think about what Rashi is teaching us. Think about what the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us. You know what the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us? Rav Pam in his Sefer calls it Miyot HaTov Eino Batel Beribui Hara. A little bit of good isn't pushed away, isn't nullified by something that's bad, right? It's an interesting idea here, the Rav Pam says. Listen to this yesod, a yesod in Hakara Satov, that just because someone did something bad to you, it doesn't mean that you lost the obligation to be makir tov for the good that they did for you. What does that mean? What does that mean? Rav Pam said, when it comes to Egypt, they were hospitable for 90 years. They made their country into a place that we could live freely. But then for how much time again? Was it 210 years? Was it less? Was it, right, 183 years? Whatever it was. But there was intense persecution. There was the genocide. They were wiping us out, killing all the boys, marrying the girls. That was the kavana, to wipe out Am Yisrael, that Am Yisrael would be totally removed from the face of the earth, and any quote-unquote Bnei Yaakov or Benos Yaakov would be absorbed into Egyptian society and into Egyptian culture. But nonetheless, the fact that there's Ribui Ra, the fact that they did so much bad, it's not Mevatel, the Miyut HaTov. It doesn't nullify the little bit of good that they did do for us. So Zotar of Pam, he says, what an unbelievable idea. Do you see what the Torah is teaching us? Do you see the Yesod the Torah is teaching us here? If we could live with this mitzvah, of lo sasayiv mitzvi kiger ha'yisa ba'artso, if we could live with this mitzvah of not rejecting the Egyptian because you were a stranger in their land, Rav Pam said, you'll be such a happy person. Because what is this mitzvah doing? It teaches us how we have to focus on interpersonal relationships. It teaches us how we have to focus on a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Think about it. What you're doing is, what this mitzvah is teaching us is, yes, even though Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to remember the Egyptian exile. We have to remember how horrific it was. And every day in our davening, both in Shacharis and in Maariv, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the paragraphs following the Shema. But what? But it doesn't take away that they did a chesed for us. And there's a mitzvah midaraisa, a mitzvah in the Torah, lo sasayiv mitzri, don't reject the mitzri, to teach us that we always have to remember the positive. We always have to look for the positive. It doesn't get but it doesn't become nullified. It doesn't become washed out. Rav Pam writes, I mean, this was a shmuz that he gave, that Talmidim wrote up. He said, how often are there fights in families because someone did one thing, and it might have been very hurtful. But it totally throws away a relationship of decades, right? Whether you have business partners that mamish were there for each other, yomam v'loila, they took care of each other, and then one guy in a moment of weakness, maybe it was in maliciousness. Again, it wasn't worse than what Mitzrayim did to us. He cheats him, in one deal he cheats him. He says, you know, I'm having a tough time at home, I need the money. Cheats his business partner. Rapam says, does that mean the decades they had of a friendship and partnership together are thrown out because of this one? It was a maisa avera, no question. What the partner did was a maisa avera, and it was wrong, and he shouldn't have done it. She shouldn't have done it. But does that mean everything good that was done gets thrown out the window? No. That's what this mitzvah is teaching us. And Rav Pam says that what this is mamash yesod of life. It's not only yesod, it's yesod of life. Do we train ourselves to have the negative filter or the positive filter? And again, it doesn't mean we're going to let the negative go entirely. That you have to be on a very high level of tzidkus. Right, that's a very high level of tzidkus. You know, you think of the Shlomo Carlbach story, when one time he was in Poland and he was hugging, Shlomo Carlbach was hugging and kissing everyone he saw, right? Goyim, Jews, everyone he saw he was hugging, kissing. And one of Shlomo's chaver said to him, Shlomo, I don't understand you. I don't understand you. These people that you're hugging and kissing, how do you know what they did to our families, out to our people? How do you know what their fathers did to our people? What do they have in their heart towards us? How do you hug and kiss all these people? And what was Shlomo's response? He said, listen, you know, if I had two hearts, you're right. If I had two hearts, you're right. Then I could have room in one of my hearts for hate. But now that I only have one heart, if I only have one heart, I only want it to be filled with love. Right? So again, we're not talking about on Shlomo Carlbach level. You know, there is a mitzvah to hate, right? And that's the end of the parsha. When it talks about Amalek, Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik wrote a famous article about that, about the mitzvah to hate, the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, the mitzvah to remember and not to let go, not to just let it sweep away. And we don't forget what Egypt did to us, right? Obviously, the night of faith, the night of the Seder, Lelep Shimurim, is all about remembering what they did to us. We don't let it go. But it doesn't mean that we become farbissen, bitter, broken people. It's a fascinating lesson. It's a fascinating lesson, if I'm saying. This mitzvah is teaching us that in life, the way to move forward is to look for the good and to look in the positive in relationships. And even if a person hurt and did bad, don't just throw out all the good they did to. There's still a chiyuv of hakar zatov, Rav Pam said, for the good they did, even when there was bad. And he said, how often do we see this in friendships that are destroyed, friendships that have gone on for years and years and years, destroyed over little things that when you look at the years of friendship, you wonder, this broke year? How could it be? Hayitachin? How could this really be? And so Rav Pam says, of course, that Parshas Kiseitse is read when? It's during Elul. What's Elul all about? Elul is about making the cheshbon with our relationship with Hashem. And he says, so too, we all have tainus on the Eibishter. We all have tainus on the Eibishter. You know, who has enough parnasa, who has enough brias, who has enough, you know, who found their shidduch exactly when they wanted, who's raising their kids exactly how they wanted, without any tzar gidol banim. Everyone has tainus. Everyone has yisur in one way or another. Everyone has a peckle, right? But what this is teaching us, Rav Pam says, lo sisai of mitzri ki geher yisa b'artso, that lo sisai of mitzri is teaching us that you're right, we all suffer. We all have bad things in our life, and Hashem is the source of everything. There's Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, there's Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Right? Kishem Shem Varach HaTov, Kach Mevarach HaLaRa. There are brachas in everything that we say in life. But what we have to recognize from this mitzvah is that when we really focus in Hakaras HaTov in a positive way, when we're able to try and remember the good, even when there is bad, and even when the bad is overwhelming, mamish, the Shibun Mitzrayim, overwhelming, it doesn't stamp out the good. And again, if we can work, like he said in Parsha Shoftim, if we can appreciate the Hakar Satov of Shmuel, the Hakar Satov of Amemar, there's Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana Hilger Rabbi Shmuel, there's a story with him in Hakar Satov also, where he seems like so wacky, yeah, you mock your Tov for this, for a little thing, yeah, Rabbi Shmuel, Tana Eloki Rabbi Shmuel, that he has such Hakar Satov. If we could develop our self, not to assume everything's coming for us, not to think that we deserve, because look at everyone else. Everyone else gets all this stuff, so I shouldn't. Let him go. It's about you and the Eibishter. Don't look at what everyone else has. So of course, why shouldn't I? Why should you? Why should you? Why should you get all these things? And so if we could develop the real Hakaras HaTov that Birchos HaShachar tries to sensitize us to, as we learned in our making davening meaningful shiurim, right, through the Birchos HaShachar, through that daily exercise in, you know, sensitivity training to gratitude and appreciation, then we can come to a place in which he says, Rav Pam says, it's one of the keys to having a happy life. And we know positive psychologists, like Martin Seligman, positive psychologists, they say this. A person that can be grateful and learns how to appreciate things in life is the person that will find happiness in this life. And that's what Rabbaron Salvechik Zatzal, Zechatzal of Kaddish of Racha, Rabbaron, my father's Rebbe, my older brother's Rebbe, my cousin's grandfather, Rabbaron, he said, that's why. What single event in the Jewish calendar is the event that we know Chazal tell us is the happiest event of the whole year? What's the single, I mean, again, if this was a shir, I'd be asking Andrew, I'd be asking Yosef, I'd be asking Alter, you know, I'd be calling on you guys, right? But I can't call on you because we're Zooming. And, you know, I know Tzvi, this way we get to learn together, but still, I miss talking, but right, what's the greatest, what's the apex of joy in the Jewish calendar? It was, of course, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. When people would go, and what would they do, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Rabbaron Salvechik Zatzal said, what was the great joy, what was going on for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? They went and they drew the water from the Gihon spring and marched it up to the Beis HaMikdash. They drew water. Tell me, when's the last time you turned the faucet on in your house and you started juggling, right? You're so excited. You start doing handstands, start doing cartwheels, but somersaults because, yay, water's coming out of the tap. Woohoo! Water's coming out of the tap. Like, you're meshuggah, you idiot. What's your problem? You from Chelm? Like, what's going on? You lunatic, right? And Byron says, I understand, you're going down to the Gihon spring and you're filling up a pitcher with water. Right, dancing, really crazy. What's going on? It makes no sense. Zakhtar Baron, what are Chazal teaching us? Mishal or Simchas Beis HaShoeva or Simcha Miyamav. That the joy that we have to find in our life, yeah, it's from the pasha of things. That you have water. That's a tremendous simcha. Just yesterday learned the bracha we make over a cup of water. Shahakol niya bidvaro. Shahakol niya bidvaro. And this, Rav Pam says, is such an important yesod for us when we go into the new year. This is an important thing for us to work on. And in fact, there's a raya how important this really is. And again, there were three other things I wanted to talk about tonight, but we'll just take it one step further. This yesod of Hakaras HaTov to show how important it is, and really that it's really megale, reveals a lot about a person. And if a person doesn't appreciate, doesn't express gratitude, man, we have to work on this. This is something that you have to try and capture. Why? Where do we see it? Zocht Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Shlita, should live and be well. So, Mamish, in my Gutnik Chumash, the page before, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Dalid, Lo Yavo Amoni Moavi Bekal Hashem Gam Dar Asiri, Lo Yavo Lem Bekal Hashem Ad Olam. Someone from Amon and Moav, they can never come into the Kal Hashem. They can never enter into the Jewish people. Now, one second. A Mitzri, third generation, they can enter in. By the way, Amalek, that we don't talk about it explicitly in the Parsha, Amalek, Zok the Rambam, and Amalek, he can convert. First generation, according to many. Amalek, so that's why Rav Salvechik, many others say Amalek is a philosophy, and it's a mindset. It's not a race. The Amalekim are not a race of people. Rabbi, I remember my Madruch and Gush, Menachem Liebtek, he points out, great shear that Amalek is all over. Plishtim, we know where they lived. The Plishtim generally lived in two places in Eretz Canaan area. Amalekim are all over the place because there was no single Amalek. That's what he says. Amalek was really a philosophy and a perspective on life. So one thing, so an Amaleki can convert. An Egyptian, with all their torturing us, Egyptians can convert, right? After three generations, they convert, and after three generations, they can marry fully in. So what did Amon and Moab do that was so bad? Right? So look at Pasuk Hey, Al Devar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Belechem Uvamayim Bederech Betzeischem Mitzrayim. Because they didn't do what? They didn't come out to greet you with bread and water when you were on the pathway out of Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. And then the pasuk continues, "V'asher sachar alechas bilam ben ba'ar mipsar aram nairaim lekal leka." And also, by the way, they hired Bilam ben Ba'ar to curse you and to wipe you out. Right? So one sec, I don't get it. The Egyptians that they beat you and they killed us and they threw our babies into the Nile River to drown them. After a couple of generations, they're in. No problem. Amun Amoth can never come in. Never. Why? Why not? So the Pasuk says two things. Like, okay, I get the second thing. They hired Bilam to curse us and so they could totally wipe us out. Okay, so that's like big enemy, you know. We're not going to forget that. But the Pasuk says something else before. That they didn't come out to greet you with bread and water. What? What? That was really such a bad thing? Sort of Nevinzal in one of the Shmuzin, or Nevinzal Shlita, right, the Rav of the old city, the Eretika. So Rav Nevinzal point out, you know, we see from here the centrality of Midos. The centrality of Midos, and that's true, but what's the connection between the two? They didn't come out with Lechem of Mayim, but then, and they hired Bilam to curse you, to kill you, right? So Zot, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Gvalde Gevart, he says, when you look towards the end of the second parak of Pirkei Avos, we know Rabbi Yechanan and Zakkai had five Talmidim, and he asked them, right, go out and see what the good path is, and go out and see what the bad path is. And almost all of them basically say A and not A. A Lev Tov as opposed to a Lev Ra, an Ayin Tov as opposed to an Ayin Ra, right? There's A and not A, B, not B, except Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what the good path is, right? Roes Hanolad. Roes Hanolad. See what's coming. And what's the bad thing? What's Rav Shimon's bad thing? Lova ve'ena mishalim. Someone who borrows money and doesn't pay back. Someone who doesn't pay back his debts. So, I don't understand that. Many Mefarshim, look in Pirkei Avos, many Mefarshim spend a lot of time trying to understand what's going on in this mission in Pirkei Avos. Like, what's pshat with Rabbi Shimon? I understand everyone else. It's A, you're not A. B, you're not B. A good heart, the bad thing is a bad heart. Be a good friend, the bad thing is to be a bad friend. A good, right? What's Rabbi Shimon? Roes Hanolad, the best thing to do is Roes Hanolad, to see what's coming. And the worst thing is Lo Vaveinu Mishalim, someone who borrows money and doesn't pay it back. So Zot, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, they really are the same thing. It is A and not A. Why? Because Lo Vaveinu Mishalim, someone who's Lo Vaveinu Pareah, someone who borrows money, doesn't pay back a debt. What is that? That's like the ultimate kafli tova. You're really down on your luck. You really need a loan. You go to someone, you pour out your heart, and this friend says, okay, you know what? I'll give you the money, right? I'll lend it to you. And you then don't go pay them back. You don't do everything you do to get their money back. And we're not talking about someone who falls on hard times and can't do it. That's not what Rabbi Shimon means. Rabbi Shimon means a person who just blows off the loan, blows off the fact that she or he owes the person money, right? Just blows them off. So how is that the inverse of Roes Hanolad? Zakter of Rabbi Dr. Tversky, because a person that does that, a person that can borrow money and just forgets they even borrowed the money and doesn't think twice about paying back the lender, that's a person, Roes Hanolad, that person can't see down the line. A person that has that root of such a midah ra, of a bad midah, that is going to lead to very, very bad things. A person that has that midah ra, that lovev in a mishalim, that borrows money, doesn't pay back, doesn't care, so that person clearly doesn't see Roes Hanolad, see what's coming. Such a person, Rachman Litzlan, who's a kafri tova, their relationships will be bad, and who knows, chas v'shalom, you know, see ultimately what's going to be in the, you know, the next world, of course. But this is something also, and what, you know, we'll end with this, or other things also, to bring up the other very chashuv of mitzvahs. Every mitzvah's chashuv. I have to catch me. Every mitzvah's chashuv. But in this parsha, there's mamsh a lot more to talk about. You know, remembering what Miriam did. Why does the Torah? That's also to look into. Why did the Torah say we should remember what Miriam did? Right. The mitzvah, the isser of speaking lashon hara. Yeah, remember what Miriam did. Remember how she said lashon hara about her brother? Like what? Okay. So think about that. That's a very interesting thing. That's one of the things that we remember every day. One of the sheishes chiras. A couple of them in this week's parsha, obviously, but. I want to end with the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. And we've discussed this Rambam many times before. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva tells us that when we do tshuva, we're not only doing tshuva on our maisim. The Rambam says we have to do tshuva for our midos also. We don't only do tshuva on the maisim, on the maisa aveira. The Rambam says we have to do tshuva on the midos also, on our bad character traits. And that's so interesting because there's no mitzvah in the Torah don't have bad character traits, is there? There's no mitzvah in the Torah says don't have bad character traits. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What? Because ro'es hanolad, a person that has the bad character traits of the lova of enum shalim, person that has the bad character traits of not being makir tov, the Rambam says, yeah, that's going to lead to horrific things. You know, it's like the famous Hasidish Torah, that depressive sadness isn't an aveir, it's not a sin, but it's worse than any sin, right? So Zokt, the Rambam, when we're doing tshuva, it's not only doing tshuva for the actual aveiros, the sins that we commit. But what we have to do tshuva, if we want to do real tshuva, a deep clean, we have to get to the root. We have to get to the midas ra'os, Rahman al-Islam, that are festering in us. And that's very hard. That's real. We need a lot of siyata d'shmaya. We need a lot of help from Hashem to be able to engage in such a tshuva. But we know that Hashem wants to do help us do this tshuva. Yadcha pshuta l'kavel shavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks out his hand, right? The right hand, the hand of chesed, to draw us in, to bring the shavim. Those that want to do tshuva, Hashem will help us. But we know we have to engage in it during this time. So please, please remember this deep, deep, very important idea from Rav Pam about how far we have to be makir tov, learn how to appreciate, learn how to express gratitude, and learn, again, that the miyat tova isn't batal in the ribui hara, that the little good that someone does doesn't get nullified even if they do a lot of bad. And he says, Allah is kama v'kama, how much more so? When there's so much good, and the person in a weak moment says a very hurtful comment to you, that one hurtful comment, that's it? That's it? Years of friendship gone because of a hurtful comment? So too with Eibishter, even though we all hurt sometimes, even though we all hurt, but Chas v'Shalom, it shouldn't overshadow all the good, all the blessings that we have. Let's learn how to be sensitive and be makir tov and appreciate. And with Hashem's help, we'll all be zocha to do a tshuva shleima, a tshuva on our maisim, a tshuva on our midos. And be'ezus Hashem, the tshuva shleima of all of Kal Yisrael will bring the geula shleima. Have a good night, have a good week, and a ksiv chsima tov, a good kibben shiur.